This morning we're continuing with our Advent series that we're doing, and this is an Advent series that I've been basing on a study that some people here have been following along with in a book that we've been doing called Light Splits the Night. So I've been following the passages that take place in that book in a way that helps us follow along and maybe dig a little bit deeper into the Christmas story. And as those lessons proceed, today's passage, the passage for this week, is a genealogy. So I have the challenge of preaching a sermon to you that's nothing more than a list of names and how that goes. But I think that's a challenge we can handle today because it's the Word of God. So there is a message for us within that. Every week I put together a sheet of student sermon notes. So for the students here, students, you have a page of notes that go along with that as well. And I always print the passage in there and then make a little word find puzzle out of it. So good luck this week because it's all those names that you got to find in there. Here's how we're going to do this today, because today, with this list of names, I'm going to be referring back and forth a little bit as we go. So there is, in your order of worship that you received, there is a bit of an outline that we can follow along to go with that today. And I am not actually going to have the passage itself on the screen this week, because I'm going to jump around a little bit. So if you want to follow along, I would recommend that you use one of the Bibles that are in the chair racks. They're kind of in the racks right underneath your seat there if you want to follow along. And this is a genealogy that comes from Matthew chapter 1, the first 17 verses. If you're following in one of those Bibles that's in the chair racks there, that's page 1496. So, a genealogy, a listing of names that tell us where Jesus comes from in the Bible. It breaks down a little something like this. This is how Matthew does it for us. It begins with Abraham. Abraham, the patriarch, the father of all of Israel. And then it lists some names from there that come from Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Perez, Hezron, Ram, Amminadab, Nahshon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. Follows a list of names there that follow through the patriarchs of ancient Israel and bring us to David. David the king. That's one break in the list right there. Then the names continue on from there, from David. And now it's a list of kings as David was king. David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, and Jeconiah, who's also known as Jehoiakim. All of the kings of Judah as they followed along from there. That's another break at that point. And then it continues because from that point it was where Judah fell into captivity to Babylon. And after the captivity in Babylon, the lineage continues from Jeconiah. It goes on to Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, Abihud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Achim, Elihud, Eleazar, Methan, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus. A third listing that goes there. I didn't read all the names in that passage. There are a few others, and I'm going to get to those as we proceed through this. But a genealogy, a list of names, why is that even here? Why does Matthew begin with that? What's the point? You see, genealogies in that time and in those days identified someone. A genealogy, a list of your family, told something about who you are and where you come from. Now, maybe that's not all that unfamiliar to some of us here. Because since I've moved back to West Michigan, I've re-engaged this game that we sometimes call Dutch Bingo. Right? Because I have a Dutch last name. I know some people here do as well. And there's this game that we sometimes play where if I meet a stranger, someone I don't know, but they have a Dutch last name, chances are that if we start talking, we'll find somebody that we know that connects us somewhere along the way. It's one of those goofy games that Dutch people in West Michigan play. If you're not Dutch and you're a part of us here today, that's okay. Maybe you know more than of what it means to be someone who doesn't really understand the names thing. Because I think for those of us who maybe do have some of that Dutch connection and heritage, maybe we can relate to this genealogy. But that's unique. I think for most people in our world around us today, specifically in our culture, the idea that your identity is wrapped up in your family lineage doesn't mean anything. It's kind of a foreign idea. You see, I think today we put our identity and who we are, we pin that much more to other things, accomplishments that we have, the career that we do, what I do for a living, successes that I've had, other things, hobbies that I enjoy, right? Sports awards that I've won, whatever that trophy case might look like. When we talk about who it is that we are, those are the kinds of things that we point to that help describe to other people who we are and where we are. We don't always talk about, well, my dad is and my grandpa is and my family was and this is where we are. We don't do that much anymore. We talk about other things to identify ourselves. But back in the Bible times, they used a genealogy. They talked about the family from which they came because that identified who they were. So in that sense, names make a difference, right? Names matter, because they establish for us some kind of a family identity about who we are. And we find them all over the place in the Bible, these lists of names. Often, I'll admit that in my own time of devotion and in my own Bible study, all right, I tend to steer away from those passages. I don't jump into the passages where I just talk about name after name after name after name. But they're there. They're in the Bible. So today we look at what it means for us. And one of the questions that I think we have to tackle along with this is why it seems inconsistent. Because we read a list of names here that I took out of Matthew chapter 1. There's also a list of names that appear in Luke, and it's a different list. There are different names there. And if you take those lists and go back to the Old Testament, where you see all kinds of lists of names, those lists are different as well. So why are they wrong? Why are there inconsistencies in this? Maybe we need to take just a minute and talk about the reason why these lists of names are there and what they mean. That'll help us understand why there sometimes are inconsistencies. The names don't always line up from one writer to the next of why that's there. So why are these inconsistencies in place? One of them has to do with the wording itself. If you were looking at that passage and you had that Bible open in front of you and saw that list of names there, it lists something like this. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah, and so on down it goes. Using the word father, at some point in this genealogy, it skips generations. It's not actually one father to the next. And actually, the word that appears there in the Greek text of the New Testament is not the word father, which in Greek would be the word pater. It's the word gnao, which you got to think way back for some of you. Think back King James kind of Bible. It doesn't use the word father there. It uses a strange word, begat, a word that we don't use much anymore. But simply what this means is ancestor, and that's all it means. Maybe it's their direct biological father, maybe grandfather, maybe great-grandfather, maybe somewhere along the line. All it's really saying is these are ancestors. And if you have a one-for-one family tree there, it's not the point. That's not the reason for the list. The reason is to establish ancestry. So these are a list of ancestors that don't necessarily form a perfect family tree in a genealogy, but it's a listing of ancestry. And Matthew puts this in here to establish some connection, some ancestry connection. A couple of names that are important along the way there. Abraham, where he begins, the father of Israel, who established the holy nation that God worked through. He brings that to David, another important name there. Following David, a progression of the kings, a kingly line. These are important things for Matthew. Important things for Matthew because Matthew writes his gospel to an audience of Jewish Christians, unlike some of the others, For example, Luke writes his gospel to Gentile believers, Gentile converts who didn't know anything about Judaism, and that wouldn't have made much sense to them. But Matthew's audience are Jewish people. He writes to the Jews. And so things like Abraham and David, those names were very important. And to take Jesus and connect Jesus to the lineage of Abraham and David was very important for his audience to hear and to know. Those names are important. The progression of kings is very important because Jesus is established as the king. And so to show that he comes from that lineage is important. It identifies who Jesus is for the audience to whom Matthew is writing. Oh, Jesus, from the kingly line. He's a king. He comes from David, from Abraham, from that progression. That's important. And then there are a few other names, some names that are unlikely, names that maybe don't belong on the list, names that would have surprised those who would have read this. Some of the names I left out when I rattled through that the first time. Particularly in the list of kings. We didn't list every single king that was there. It seems to me that Matthew, if he were to put together this list, and he's picking and choosing, which he's doing, he's picking and choosing some, why doesn't he just take the best of the best? Let's just take out those kings that were the good kings. Because, you know, it does the job. We established the lineage there. We get it. Jesus comes from the kingly line. And by the way, why wouldn't you want to put forth the best of the best in that kingly line? But he doesn't do that. He mixes up that list. Some of those kings, like King Hezekiah, were good kings. That they were kings who ruled in the fear of the Lord. Some of those kings were wicked kings who turned their back on God, did not follow his commands. But Matthew puts them on the list, chooses them anyway. He picks Gentiles, particular women who are Gentiles. Typically, in that time and in that culture from that many years ago, women would not be on a list like this. But Matthew chooses women. Some women in particular, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, that he picks these women who had, we'll say, questionable credentials because they weren't part of the people of Israel necessarily, because of the background from which they came, because of the way they found their way into the family tree. But to Matthew, it's an important detail. Let's throw in some of these people that otherwise we would pass over and say, you know what? All right, technically I know they're on the list, but can't we just keep that one, you know, under the rug? Can't those just stay as skeletons in the closet? Matthew doesn't do that. He brings them all forward and he mixes them up together, right? We have some of them who are the heroes of the lineage, Abraham and David and some of those good kings. We have some who were dismal kings, who were Gentiles, who really kind of snuck their way in and for some purposes didn't belong. But Matthew puts them there. This mixed grab bag of names for us that in his writing of this matters. These are names that matter because they display something. They display the lineage of Jesus. They display the identity of Jesus. That Jesus comes into a lineage that's sort of this mixed grab bag of different things. That he comes into a line, that he is born into a world where there are examples of good and righteous people. That he is born into a line, that he comes into a world where there are examples of people who are fallen sinners. He comes into a line and he comes into a world where there are people who were on the outside and somehow found their way in and got on the list. Jesus comes into a line where those names matter in all of that spectrum. He comes into that. So how does this list put together this way? We're going to do a little math today. Some arithmetic taking place in this message, because this is one of the common things that you can find in some of the Jewish literature, that Hebrew words also have numbers, because the Hebrew language uses the letters of the alphabet as their numbers. So, for example, in the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Aleph. Aleph is number one. And on down it goes from there. I won't give you the whole lesson. But this part is important. The name of David. The name of David in Hebrew is only three letters. It is, in English, we would say it is D, W, D. Those are the Hebrew letters, Dalet, Vav, Dalet. Letters also have numbers. Dalet, or letter D, is the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Vav, W, is the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So the name of David is a progression of numbers. Those numbers add up to equal something, right? David is important on this list. He uses the number 14, the addition of those things that all come together to explain this, that the number 14 is important in this list. And just to be certain about it, he doesn't leave it to chance. Maybe those who are really paying attention and counting this lineage add that up. But Matthew draws specific attention to this. In fact, he concludes his genealogy with this. This is verse 17. This is what he writes. Thus, there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Matthew doesn't want us to miss this. Even though for the Hebrew people they would have caught it, he understands that, you know what, this is so important, I don't want anybody to miss this. The number 14 that is so important in this list. And explains a little bit of why he picks and chooses. He leaves some of the names out. Because it's very important to him that he has segments of 14 that go along in here. Because 14 is the number of the name of David. The name that Matthew wants to rise to the top of this list, that it's more important than all the rest, and it encompasses everything else within that list. David. David, who was the warrior. David, who was the great king. David, who was the example that all of Israel was waiting and hoping for to return again. David. David, who found someone who wasn't his wife and had her husband killed. David, who made mistakes. David, who himself was a sinner in need of grace, is a part of that list, is the example of that list. That David makes his way onto this. And Matthew calls that out. The Jewish people would have expected a Messiah to be like David. They would have expected that. They expected a king like David to be the Messiah. But Matthew puts together this list to remind us that even David comes from a mixed lineage. Even David, your example of the greatest king that ever existed in the history of Israel, even David comes from a line where there was some brokenness, sin, rebellion, that there were those in that line who snuck their way in from the outside, that there were those who followed God, and there were those who did not. But it's all part of the lineage that comes there. Jesus is born into this lineage, into a mixed lineage of all of these different parts of our world, all these examples that come to us. So what are the names that matter? You know what, for you and I today, for those of us sitting here, now maybe we don't think of it in terms of the names of our own family. I don't think of my dad and my grandpa and on there, but we carry names. You and I, we carry names on us that identify us, There are names that identify us because in some sense, we are people who are shaped by our past, right? The places that we've done, the places that we've gone, the things that we've done, the people that we've come in contact with, successes that we've enjoyed, failures that have come our way, all of those things are name tags that stick on us somewhere. We all have them. Every one of us carries name tags that we have that identify us. Let me give you a list of things that might potentially be name tags that you carry. Things like this: successful, struggling, encouraging, angry, competitive, generous, mean, reliable, cheater, anxious, confident, quitter, strong, meek, needy, gracious, independent, sinner. A mixed lineage, isn't it? A mixed grab bag. Some of the name tags that we carry are name tags that we put on proudly. Some of the names that I have are names that I hold on me that I take with some esteem, that identify who I am. We all have some things like that. Some of those name tags that are stuck to me are name tags that maybe I would rather not wear. It's not a name that I would really want to have. But these are all things that form some of our lineage, right? Part of our identity, part of who we are. So like it or not, the ones that you carry proudly, the ones that maybe you'd rather not have, those are all the names that we have. And these are names that matter. They matter. Some of those names that we carry, the ones that we're proud of, those are names that matter because those are the names that motivate us, right? Those are the things that I get up for in the morning and I go to work for and I do what I do because I'm proud of those things and I pursue those things and I want to do the best that I can in the career that I have, in the student that I am, in the sports that I play or the activities that I do. Those things that are names and badges of honor for me, that we wear those things. Some of those things, they matter. I wish they didn't, but they matter. The failures that I've experienced in my life. The hurt and the pain that has come my way. The names that I struggle to get past, I wish I could take that name tag off. But it's not so easy. It's still with me. It matters. You see, those names that we carry, that lineage we come from, it matters. It makes a difference. Jesus was born into that, right? Jesus was born to come into our lineage, into our list of names. Whatever that list of names looks like for you, whatever name badges you are wearing, the ones that you're proud of, and the ones that you'd rather get rid of. Jesus was born to come into that. To embrace and to embody all of those things that make you proud of who you are and what you do and the accomplishments that you achieve, all the ways that you live for God and all the ways that you experience His grace and His mercy in this world, all of those things that make you feel alive in who you are. Jesus comes and was born into that for you. And all those things I wish I could peel off. All those things that I wish weren't a part of my lineage. All those things that I wish weren't a part of my family where I come from. And now they're stuck and they're a part of me. All those things that I want to get rid of. Jesus was born into that. Into our weakness. Into our struggles. Into our failures. Into our shortcomings. Jesus was born into our lineage. So whatever you have on that list, whatever your name tags say, whatever your lineage is about, Jesus was born for you. He came into this world for you. He takes those name tags for you. leaving aside all the glory that was his, all the majesty that was his, leaving aside heaven to come and to be part of us, part of our lineage, part of our names. Of all the name tags that I wear, I think the name tag that maybe matters most is a name tag that I put on declaring that I'm a child of God. Jesus came and lived on this earth and took all those other names so that the one name tag that I can have on that matters more than any of the others is that I am a child of God. And none of those other names get in the way of that. None of those other names are more important than that. So wherever you feel those name tags stuck on you, put that one on top. Make that one first. Jesus came so that you could wear that name tag. Child of God. You are a part of that lineage, of that ancestry. And it is a gift of God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for the gift of your word. Even in passages where it seems a little confusing, it's just a list of names. What does that mean? But Lord, thank you that you give us something so important and so special out of that, to see how important we are, to see how much we matter to you. Lord, we have to admit there are times when we carry some names that maybe we'd rather not, names that get in the way of truly seeing the name that matters most. And so, Lord, we pray today. We pray that in this list of names that we consider and carry, that you would remind us again, the one thing that matters more than any of the rest is that we are children of God. Thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.